By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Another beautiful morning and another beautiful Rise and Shine program. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We're going to be listening to the verses of the Holy Quran, a beautiful kalam, and many, many other things today as well. Another jam-packed program for you to watch and also to learn as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, every program of Dawat Islami is designed so that we can learn from it as well. Not only enjoy it with our families, not only be something that we can enjoy, but we can learn as well. Any program, I was speaking to a Mufti Sahab, and he says that whenever I turn on Madani channel, there is something that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal is there that people can learn from. And that is the motto of Dawat Islami, that I must try to reform myself and the people of the entire world. That's what we are based on. That is what our main aim is. And this is why we have this beautiful program, Rise and Shine, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. And some of the different segments that we have in this program is amazing. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, it's something that we can go away with and learn something and then come back. And every day, whenever we are online, we do have a different topic, we do have a different daily hadith and a reminder. Now these reminders Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well, about reminders, yeah, that reminding the Muslims is beneficial for them. So that is why the Quran is full of reminders. Yeah, the Quran reminds us of the stories of the past people. The Quran reminds us of the people who lived their lives, and those people who were successful. And the Quran also reminds us of those people who were punished by Allah Azza wa Jal for their disobedience, for their treachery, and for their zulm that they did on people and the world. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, as Muslims, we should be following the beautiful teachings of the Quran, and also inshallah Azza wa Jal gain blessings from the Quran itself as well. Now remember, when the Quran was revealed, in the beginning what used to happen was, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they used to gather in a place called Darul Arqam. And that was, as you can say, the university of Islam in the beginning days. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them about Islam and everything. And inshallah, that's where the Sahaba Ikram learned the beautiful Quran as well. Before we say anything else, let's just go straight towards the beautiful Kalam-e-Pak, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, listen to the reminder and the message of our Rabb Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
أَفَمَنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى تَقْوَى مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٍ خَيْرٌ أَمْ مَنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَى شَفَا جُرُفٍ هَارٍ فَانْهَارَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ.
تو کیا جس نے اپنی بنیاد رکھی اللہ سے ڈر اور اس کی رضا پر, وہ بھلا یا وہ جس نے اپنی نیو چنی یعنی بنیاد رکھی ایک گراؤ گڑے کے کنارے, تو وہ اسے لے کر جہنم کی آگ میں ڈھہ پڑا.
واللہ لا يهدی القوم الظالمین.
اور اللہ ظالموں کو راہ نہیں دیتا.
لا يزال بنيانهم الذي بنوا ريبة في قلوبهم إلا أن تقطع قلوبهم والله عليم حكيم.
وہ تعمیر جو چنی ہمیشہ ان کے دلوں میں کھٹکتی رہے گی مگر یہ کہ ان کے دل ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہو جائیں, اور اللہ علم و حکمت والا ہے.
ان اللہ اشترى من المؤمنین انفسهم واموالهم بان لهم الجنہ.
بے شک اللہ نے مسلمانوں سے ان کے مال اور جان خرید لیے ہیں اس بدلے پر کہ ان کے لیے جنت ہے.
یقاتلون فی سبیل اللہ فیقتلون ویقتلون.
اللہ کی راہ میں لڑے تو مارے اور مرے.
وعدا علیہ حقا فی التوراۃ والانجیل والقرآن.
اس کے ذمہ کرم پر سچا وعدہ توریت اور انجیل اور قرآن میں.
ومن اوفا بعہده من اللہ فاستبشروا ببیعکم الذی بایعتم به.
اور اللہ سے زیادہ قول کا پورا کون, تو خوشیاں مناؤ اپنے سودے کی جو تم نے اس سے کیا ہے.
وذلک هو الفوز العظیم.
اور یہی بڑی کامیابی ہے.
التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين.
توبہ والے, عبادت والے, سراہنے والے, روزے والے, رکوع والے, سجدے والے, بھلائی کے بتانے والے اور برائی سے روکنے والے, اور اللہ کی حدیں نگاہ رکھنے والے, اور خوشی سناؤ مسلمانوں کو.
ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم.
نبی اور ایمان والوں کو لائق نہیں کہ مشرکوں کی بخشش چاہیں اگرچہ وہ رشتہ دار ہوں, جبکہ انہیں کھل چکا کہ وہ دوزخی ہیں.
وما كان استغفار ابراهيم لابيه الا عن موعدة وعدها اياه.
اور ابراہیم کا اپنے باپ کی بخشش چاہنا وہ تو نہ تھا مگر ایک وعدے کے سبب جو اس سے کر چکا تھا.
فلما تبين له انه عدو للہ تبرأ منه ان ابراہیم لأواہ حلیم.
پھر جب ابراہیم کو کھل گیا کہ وہ اللہ کا دشمن ہے, اس سے تنکا توڑ دیا یعنی لا تعلق ہو گیا, بے شک ابراہیم ضرور بہت آہیں کرنے والا متحمل ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. We were listening to Surah At-Tawbah and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, some of the stories of the Anbiya Ikram alayhimu salatu wa salam, and where it was mentioned about Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, between his and his uncle. Now, if you just remember that when you the translation was about his father, remember that the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I have been created from pure wombs. Now that means that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's predecessors, his fathers and his mothers, they were all Muslims. Now in the Quran, Whenever it is mentioned about Abun, now Ab also means uncle as well in the Arabic language. So here the scholars in Siratul Jinan Mufti Sahab, he writes that in here where he says Abun, it's mentioned about the uncle of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Or else if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's father Ma'azallah was a mushrik, was not a non-Muslim, then how would the pure wombs become? So mashallah, I was talking about Darul Arqam, the first university in Islam. That is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims would gather, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach them the glorious verses of the Quran. Subhanallah, can you imagine what beautiful time that would have been, that the Sahaba ikram would be sat and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would be stood there and mashallah reading them the beautiful verses of the Quran. And many, many times, the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, when they would read the Quran themselves, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mentioned that whenever he would read the Quran, he would cry so much in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that his neighbors would start to complain that he cries too much. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abu Bakr, why do you cry? And he says, O Prophet of Allah, when the verses of the Quran echo in my mind and in my heart, I cannot control myself. So this is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best of creation after the prophets of Allah, the best man to walk on the surface of the earth after the prophets of Allah. And look at his state, that whenever he reads the Quran, he listens to the Quran. You know, when the Quran echoes in his mind and his heart, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu cannot control himself. He cries. In the same way, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel and those who are watching Rise and Shine, remember, always wake up in the morning, offer your Salatul Fajr and read the glorious Quran. Inshallah, Azawajal, it doesn't have to be one para if you can't read that. Even a few pages, even a few verses, and then also try to read Siratul Jinan as well. And I guarantee you and I promise you that you will, inshallah, Azawajal, not only enjoy it and love it, but inshallah, Azawajal, you will learn a lot of things as well. So may Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to read the glorious Quran every day. MashaAllah, Azawajal, we've got a very beautiful kalam for you guys as well. So let's go towards the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah. As-subhu bada min talaatihi wal-layl جامع وفرته ہے نور سحر چہرے سے تیرے اور شب کی رونق زلفوں سے تمامی امت کے اور راہنما ہے شریعت کے. انگلی کے اشارے پیڑ چلے اعجاز سے پتھر بول اٹھے اور چاند ہوا انگوشت کے ایک اشارے سے. معراج پہ ان کو بلوایا قربت کا شرف ان کو بخشا. اس نام سے اپنی عز و بقا طوفان میں جب یہ نام لیا پھر ڈوبتوں کو ہے کنارہ ملا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, a very beautiful kalam in Arabic and in Urdu as well. Subhanallah عزوجل. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, if you just joined us, then you are watching our program Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah عزوجل, a very unique and important topic we're going to be discussing about is about success. What is success? How do we judge success? And what do people think about what success is? But before we go into the topic, let's just mention a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam regarding reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned in Al-Firdaus that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that, O people, the one who will be free from the accounts and the horrors of the day of judgment will be the one who recites the most durood upon me in this world. Subhanallah. Yani on the day of judgment, what is the day of judgment going to be like? This he says, the scholars, they mention that a mother will be running away from her own child. The father will be running away from his own son and daughter. Everyone will be worried about themselves. What's going to happen to me? How is Allah Ta'ala going to deal with me today? Am I going to end up in the fire of hell? Now, if we fail an exam in this world, it doesn't matter, does it? You can receive that exam. Or what will happen is you might just choose another course to do. But on the day of judgment, if we fail this exam, then there is no other second chance. So may Allah, and that's why we need to understand that we need to pass this test in the first time, and that's when we are going to be granted the gardens of paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So today's topic is you know, one question comes into the mind. Who is the most fortunate person? Kamyab kona? Who is the most successful person? And everyone judges success in different ways. Some people may say that the one who has a big house is successful. Someone might say the one with a successful business is the most successful person. And some people will argue that, no, even someone who has a good car is someone successful. But what is reality? What is success? Yeah. So the more people there are, the more different ideas or types of success we will talk about. So for those people who say that I have a lot of children, you know, I've got backup, my business will not stop because my children will take over me. And those people who say that, you know, our wealth is there. There's so much wealth. We can use that, you know, we will never be poor. We can use that money in so many places. Yeah. Then these people, they're falling into the trap of the shaitan. Remember, if we have a lot of wealth and we do not give tarbiyat to our children and our children do not learn from this, then what will happen is our children will misuse that wealth we left behind. And you've got tons of wealth. If you haven't got pious children, then that wealth will be spent in bribery. That wealth could be spent gambling. That wealth could be spent on drugs, on alcohol, on many other bad things as well. And because of you leaving that wealth behind, your children will go astray. Your children will move away from the deen. Remember, it's very, very important that we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We bring up our children according to the deen, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah azza wa jalla has mentioned inside the glorious Quran, para number 27, Surah Hadid, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Translation from Kanzul Iman, جان لو کہ دنیا کی زندگی تو صرف کھیل کود اور زینت اور آپس میں فخر و غرور کرنا اور مالوں اور اولاد میں ایک دوسرے پر زیادتی چاہنا ہے. So Allah عز و جل clearly mentions in the Quran, this wealth that we have, and this life of this dunya. Yeah, what is it? It's khel kood, it's fun and games. Yeah, and then just like fun and games, you know, time flies in the same way, you know, this wealth that we have, it'll go one day. But we'll talk about this very important topic. We have a very beautiful documentary for you about one of the departments of Dawat Islami. Let's watch this documentary. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
بشرى لنا نلنا المنى زال العلا وفرنا والدهر أنجز وعده والبشر أضحى معلنا بشرى لنا نلنا المنى زال العلا وفرنا بشرى لنا
Dawat Islami is an international non-political organization currently operating in more than 100 departments all throughout the world. One department is the Arabic department of Dawat-e-Islami. The Arabic department of Dawat-e-Islami is aimed to represent Dawat-e-Islami in the Arab world by creating and translating all the required content of Dawat-e-Islami into Arabic language to spread the teachings of Islam and reform the values of society through digital resources like social media websites and on-ground muballighin overseas.
مركز الدعوة الإسلامي هو مؤسسة عالمية يسعى لنشر رسالة الإسلام بلغات مختلفة في جميع أنحاء العالم.
The mission of this department is to reform ourselves and the world according to the mission statement of our great leader Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliya. The mission statement is, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal.
اللغة العربية هي من اللغات الأكثر شيوعاً في كثير من الدول فأولى المركز اهتماماً خاصاً بهذه اللغة التي هي لغة القرآن والسنة.
The Arabic department of Dawat-e-Islami is representing Dawat-e-Islami in the Arab world. This department is spreading the teachings of Islam by producing Islamic educational and engaging programs, PSMs and short videos, etc.
اللغة العربية ويفهمونها على مستوى العالم فأنشأنا قسم إدارة الشؤون العربية فالحمد لله أصبحت مشرفا لهذا القسم تقوم إدارة الشؤون العربية بنشر النصائح والتعاليم الدينية الصحيحة الموثوقة من السنن والآداب الإسلامية والفوائد الدعوية والعلمية ضمن منشوراته ورسائله من الصور والبطاقات والمقاطع والفيديوهات الإسلامية عبر مواقع التواصل الاجتماعي الخاصة بالمركز.
بشرى لنا نلنا المنى زال العلا وفرنا.
The Arabic department of Dawat-e-Islami invites people to Islam and digitally engages them with Islamic content to keep them away from unethical and non-Sharia content. This work is for the pleasure of Allah to spread Islam worldwide and reform the values of society.
أشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى أن من علي بإتاحة فرصة العمل في هذه البيئة الدينية الطيبة لمركز الدعوة الإسلامية. وأنا هنا منذ 5 سنوات وأعمل مساعدا للمدير بقسم إدارة الشؤون العربية بمركز الدعوة الإسلامية، حيث أقوم بإدارة المهام وتنظيم المشاريع الدعوية والخطط المستقبلية.
In the Arabic department of Dawat Islami, we write different types of content in many categories like articles, posts, videos, and speeches, etc.
بتأمين النصوص المتنوعة بالتعاون مع الإخوة الدعاء الذين يعملون معنا في الدول العربية، بما في ذلك نصوص البرامج الدعوية والفيديوهات التوجيهية ومقاطع موشن جرافيك والقصص الهادفة، بالإضافة إلى نصوص صور إنفوجرافيك والبطاقات الدعوية والتربوية وغيرها.
We translate all the needed content and literature of Dawat Islami into Arabic language.
شعبة الترجمة العربية، هذا القسم الذي يترجم من الأردية إلى العربية حتى يستفيدون أهل اللغة العربية. فنحن نترجم تعاليم سيد الشيخ محمد إلياس العطار القادري حفظه الله تعالى وأفكاره الدعوية ومنهجه، وهو منهج أهل السنة والجماعة، نترجمها لكي يستفيد منها العرب.
We record Islamic Arabic videos in Pakistan and overseas on many topics. We edit all videos recorded in Arabic language. We dub videos, add subtitles of Amir Ahl-Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, our personalities, and animated videos of Ghulam Rasool, etc.
It's Dawat-e-Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
قسم الفرعي الترجمة والدبلجة العربية التابع لإدارة الشؤون العربية بمركز الدعوة الإسلامية. وبحمد الله تعالى هذا القسم يتعامل بشكل عام مع الترجمة الكاملة من العربية إلى الأردية ومن الأردية إلى العربية، ويهتم بترجمة المحتوى الدعوي لفضيلة الشيخ محمد إلياس العطار القادري حفظه الله تعالى.
It's Dawat Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
The content of the Arabic department of Dawat Islami is authentic and of quality, and the content is completely based on Quran and Hadith and the beliefs of Maslake Ahl Sunnat.
عندنا شعبة خاصة استخراج النصوص والمحتوى الفعال. أما عن أهداف قسم المحتوى والنصوص فهي تقوم بنشر تعاليم مبادئ الإسلام الصحيحة وفقا لمنهج أهل السنة والجماعة.
All our content is verified from Sharia Taftish and a native Arabic scholar.
ما يقوله العلماء والدعاء عندنا باللغة الأردية نقوم بترجمتها طبعا إلى اللغة العربية، ومن ثم دبلجتها. قام بتأسيس قسم متكامل يهتم بنشر رسالة الإسلام بين الذين يتحدثون، وتقوم أيضا بإعداد محتوى توجيهي وتوعوي وتخطيط لمقاطع وبرامج تربوية ومفيدة. كذلك تقوم بتسليط الضوء على القضايا المعاصرة حتى نأخذ دورنا تجاه إصلاح الأفراد والمجتمعات.
Our videos are being published on various platforms of social media and on the official website of Dawat Islami.
صفحة المركز على الفيسبوك وصفحته على إنستغرام وصفحته على تويتر وغيرها من محطات التواصل الاجتماعي، حيث نهتم بنشر محتوى المركز ومنتجاته الدعوية والتربوية لكي ننشرها في المجموعات الدعوية المتنوعة وعلى الواتس أيضا.
We analyze feedbacks and suggestions from the audience and improve our work quality.
كذلك تقوم بنشر الثقافة الدينية في المجتمع وغرس القيم والأخلاق الحميدة في نفوس أفراده.
What do we have for you? Arabic Hamd and Naat, 2D animated videos, ethical programs, PSMs, kids 3D cartoons, historical programs, documentaries, short stories, Facebook and YouTube live sessions. The publishing platforms of the Arabic Department of Dawat-e-Islami include our Arabic website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Telegram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and WhatsApp. You can contact us online through WhatsApp or email. WhatsApp number 0092-311-633-6937 or through email arabic@dawateislami.net.
قناة مدني هذه القناة الدعوية التي تعمل لإيصال رسالة الدعوة والدين على منهج أهل السنة والجماعة في أنحاء العالم.
We love مدني channel. We love مدني channel. We love مدني channel. We love مدني channel. مدني channel spreading the blessings of Sunnah. مدني channel spreading the blessings of Sunnah.
لأنه عندنا الآن ثلاثة قنوات موجودة، يعني القناة الأردية والإنجليزية واللغة البنغالية. هذه الثلاثة القنوات موجودة وتبث كلها من المركز الرئيسي المتواجد في باكستان في مدينة كراتشي. وفي المستقبل القريب أيضا نخطط لقناة مدني العربية. هذه القناة إن شاء الله ستخدم الدعوة والدين في الدول العربية أو من يستطيع فهم اللغة العربية إن شاء الله، وبتعاونكم ووقوفكم معنا إن شاء الله سنصل إلى قلب كل مسلم أو إلى قلب كل شخص يفهم اللغة العربية لكي نخدمه في الدعوة والدين ونوصل إليه تعاليم القرآن والسنه الصحيحه ان شاء الله.
Come be in touch with us and help us spread the message of awareness. Dawat-e-Islami Digital Media Department. Let us know if you think we can do better. Visit our website www.arabicdawateislami.net.
We love Dawat-e-Islami. We love Dawat-e-Islami. We love Dawat-e-Islami.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله عز وجل. You saw the Arabic department of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah عز وجل. You know, it's amazing how the brothers, ما شاء الله عز وجل, have, you know, taken this department to the next level, as they say. ما شاء الله عز وجل. Many books of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, and many other Sunni ulama kiram have been translated from the Urdu language into the Arabic language as well. And the way, alhamdulillah, some of them in the Arabic language have been, you know, simplified Arabic in today's modern Arabic and presented to the world. And alhamdulillah, azawajal, many Arab countries, Dawat-e-Islami's Madani work takes place, alhamdulillah, azawajal. And inshallah, azawajal, all this is going to do is going to grow the works of Dawat-e-Islami in the Arab countries. And inshallah, azawajal, there will be a day when every Arab country will have the presence of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. You know, because everyone needs a reform. You know, we can't say that those people who are from the Arab countries or from Pakistan or from England, they don't need no Islah, they don't need no Neki Ki Dawat. Yes, everyone needs that. Everyone needs a reminder. Everyone needs to be taught or put back into line again. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this is where the Arabic department comes in. And mashallah Azza wa Jal, if you can give us your services for the Arabic department, then please do get in touch, mashallah. We're always looking to hire volunteers, and maybe inshallah Azza wa Jal, if the work is out there and, you know, your work is achieving, then no doubt, inshallah, so, you know, we can, you know, make use of your time and your efforts and spread the message of Deen around the world. Coming back to the topic that we were discussing today, what is success? Allah Azza wa Jal, He says inside the glorious Quran, para number 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 13, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. The one who follows the commands of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah usse baahu mein le jayega. Allah will take him into the gardens. Jinke niche nehre rawa hain. Beneath them, below them, there will be rivers flowing. Hamesha unme rahenge. They will live there forever. Aur yehi badi kamyabi. And this is the big success. Yeah, so what is success? Success is that we die in following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And success is following Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal are, whatever the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are, we follow them. We follow them blindfoldedly even. Why? Because these are the commands of our Rabb Azza wa Jal. In another place, in para number 4, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 185, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Faman zukhziha 'ani an-nari wa udkhila al-jannata faqad faz." Translation from Kanzul Iman: Jo aag se bacha kar jannat mein dakhil kiya gaya, the one who is saved from the fire and entered paradise, wo murad ko pahuncha, he has achieved success. Yeah, in Siratul Jinan, Mufti Sahib writes, معلوم ہوا کہ قیامت میں حقیقی کامیابی یہ ہے کہ بندے کو جہنم سے نجات دے کر جنت میں داخلہ دیا جائے. True success is that a person is saved from the fire of hell and he enters the gardens of paradise. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, every day we have a daily reminder. Let's see what daily reminder we have for today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, without question, visiting the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a great privilege, but it should be kept in mind that one who has been blessed with visiting this court must also conform to manners. A little bit of negligence may result in great deprivation. Let's now listen some of the manners. Number one, when visiting, one should make a pure intention of beholding the blessed grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There must not be any intention such as show off or trade, etc. Number two, recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam during the journey to Medina. Number three, as the haram of Medina approaches, it is better to cry and recite salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with your head bowed and then move ahead. Visit the blessed shrine with great humility of the heart and body. Say salam. If you cannot weep, at least have a weeping look on your face. Number five, try to focus all of your attentions to the merciful court of the greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Refrain from using the mobile phone and taking selfies and ponder that you are present in a very glorious court. Number six, if somebody has requested you to convey his salam to the court of beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then say salam on his behalf as well. Number seven, as long as you are blessed with a stay in Medina Tayyiba, spend most of your time in the state of wudu in the blessed masjid, offering salah, reciting the Holy Quran, salat upon the greatest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam as well. Obviously, you will also spend your time on fulfilling your needs. One should not talk about any worldly matter in any masjid. Take extra care there. Number eight, in Medina, the reward of 50,000 good deeds is granted for performing a single good deed. Therefore, put more effort in the acts of worship. Do cut down the intakes of food, etc., as long as possible, and give sadaqah. And number nine, never turn your back towards the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As long as possible, do not stand at such a place to offer salah where your back is towards the blessed shrine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. We had to make a few desperate changes and mashallah azawajal, we got a very beautiful and special guest in the studio. Mashallah azawajal, we got our Nigran Khalid bhai in the studio. Assalamu alaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Mashallah, you fancied coming here.
You had to make changes in the studio, was it?
Because I was sat here, you see.
And then, right, so it wasn't set up for?
No, it wasn't set up, but when we heard that you are coming, so we quickly. It only took us a few minutes. So
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I was put on this side and you were put on that side. How are you doing anyway, mashallah? Your health, alhamdulillah, everything okay. Mashallah, Allah Ta'ala give you barakat. Today we are talking about success. You know, what is success? You know, we see that different people, different mentalities and different ideologies and different thoughts of success. Someone might say, I'm driving the best car, I'm successful. Someone's going to have a massive business, raking in a lot of money, I'm successful. The Quran talks about success in a different way. And alhamdulillah, Islam talks about success in a different way. What are your opinions?
Have you ever heard the term bucket list?
A bucket with a list in it.
A bucket, no. Have you not heard of that term?
No.
Okay, basically for our viewers and for yourself. It's a term that's come up in the last, I've only seen it in the last 5 to 10 years maybe. And people make bucket lists. And it's a list that you make yourself. Mm-hmm. And on this list, you put on it all the things that you want to achieve. Yeah. I want to get, you know, a Ferrari. I want to drive this car. I want to go to this place. I want to go. And they make a list of all these things that they want to achieve before they die.
Yeah.
Right. And they put it on a list. And the most important thing that they want to put, they put at the top of the list. So whatever's the real goal in life. Yeah. The real main goal in life, they put that at the top of the list and they make a list all the way down. And some people make a list of 20, 50, 100 things on this list. And so that bucket list represents the goals in life. And for that individual, that bucket list ticking them off is his means of success. That I've achieved success because I've ticked everything off of my bucket list. The question I want to ask to my viewers is, because I'm presuming you've already told them what the Quran says with regards to success, on our bucket lists, I know you're watching this program now, and obviously you're watching this program because you have some sort of an Islamic mindset. But if you weren't watching this program and you were honest with yourselves, where on your list would it come to please Allah Azza wa Jal? Would it even be on your list of things that you want to achieve in this world? Because that should be at the top of the list, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
The top of the list should be, I want to please Allah Azza wa Jal with the hope of attaining paradise. Second, I want to be able to fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Third, whatever. Where on our list is that? And if we are honest with ourselves, I think that is where the problem lies, officer. It's not on our list.
If you know, the way you said it, if we have that as our number one, then the Ferraris don't have a chance, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, no, but what I'm saying is the Ferraris and all these cars, there's nothing of harm in having a Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know, we're not here to say, no, we're going to give you a fatwa, you can't drive a sports car. You can drive a sports car, you can drive anything you wish. However, that should not be your priority.
Yeah.
Your priority should be something else. And if this comes along, you know, someone once said to me, and I didn't understand it at the time, but the more and more as I've got a little bit older, a little bit wiser, when you were young, someone said to me that people that run after dunya, they never get it. And the example that was given to me was the carrot on, you know, the donkey. I don't know if you ever saw that picture, where they see a donkey and they put a stick, sticking it at the front of the donkey with a carrot on it. And the donkey is running after the carrot, trying to get the carrot. And every time he takes a step forward, the carrot goes further away because it's stuck on a stick.
Yeah.
He never gets the carrot. In the same way, this dunya, we never get it. But he also said to me, at the time I didn't understand this, but now I do. Those that people run after the akhirat, yeah, the dunya runs after them.
Very sure.
And you see those people that you think to themselves, well, how is it possible that he is living a good life in this world when he is not bothered about this world? He has no fikr about this world because he's running after akhirah because that is his goal. That is his success. And now I understand it when I look around me and I see people, alhamdulillah, that you see them running after the akhirah and it would appear that they're successful in this world as well. Yeah? So that's where we need to look at our bucket list and say to ourselves, what is our priority?
So if someone says, well, show us someone, we've got a prime example of Amir al-Sunnat in front of us, yeah? Millions of people just want to see a glimpse of him.
Dunya's racing after him. And you've been in that line, I've been in that
Alhamdulillah.
Line. We've been in them queues, yeah? Of 500 people, 600 people, yeah?
Alhamdulillah.
Waiting to see Amir al-Sunnat. Why?
Because they love him.
Because they love him. He's got that respect that the people have. But coming back to your topic, though, is what do we, you know, what is our goals in life? And I think that's the problem. We need to look at ourselves, we need to prioritize ourselves. And I'm of a firm believer that whatever you prioritize your life on, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will achieve that.
Yes.
You know, I remember I was at one place after working, and this person, he was writing a book. And I asked him, what is the title of the book? And he says, How to Become a Millionaire. And I went, wow, that's going to be hard. You know, to become a millionaire, that's going to be hard. It's going to take a, you know. He said, brother, 2 pages. Yeah. And I thought, how can you become a millionaire and just writing it in 2 pages? And he said to me, when he basically summed up, he says, you give up everything, prioritize becoming a millionaire, give up all of these things that we have, you'll become a millionaire. And I thought, he's right, you know. It all depends on your priorities. If your priority is to achieve paradise, it's not hard,
you know.
It's not hard. The Prophet of Allah has given us the Quran. The Prophet of Allah has given us Sunnah. Follow these two things. You know, the Prophet of Allah said, I leave you two things, the Quran and my way. Follow them, you will never go astray. That's our, you know, recipe for success, if you want, yeah? That is the way that we can achieve success. The question is are we willing to give up things to follow that recipe?
You know, nowadays you see people, you know, with jobs, and they say, oh, we can't survive with one job. It's again, it's because our lifestyle has changed, and that is why we are running after them. Like you mentioned, if a sports car is on top of your list, yeah, to get that sports car, you need to work really, really hard. You know, they say you got to work dead hard to get that car. So the rest of the things are left behind, aren't they? And that is why you see a lot of people, you know, they see someone, they drive past a good house. I just want a house like that. For that, you need to change yourself. And I mentioned this many times as well. I know someone who has committees of £800 a week.
Allah,
so he's going to earn £800 just to go. Why is all that happening? It's because his priority is that he wants to have a good life. Well, now that's another question. What is a good life?
Yeah, it is that. I remember we went to someone's house. My dear departed wife went to someone's house. And they just got this new house. So we went to give them Mubarak. Yeah, so obviously we go in the house and the women go in the back and we're in the front. I'm sat with the brother and we're sat there chatting. Chai, biscuit, whatever. We have the tea biscuits. Half an hour later, we get up and leave. As I get up and we're in the car, and I said to the mother of my child, I said that, you know, is the sister happy? Is Budgie happy? Oh yeah, she's really happy. She took me around the house. She showed me the kitchen. She showed me the garden. She showed me upstairs, the bathroom and everything. She's really, really, really happy. I said, okay. And I went quiet. But 5 minutes later, it dawned on the woman. She said, why did you ask? Why did you ask that question? I said, she may be happy, but the husband's in the front room crying. She said, what do you mean? He says, well, he said to me he can't afford this house. But pressure, peer pressure, lokyaken, what are people going to say about my house? They want this nice house. I can't afford it. Because I was actually, the conversation started with him that, you know, brother, I've not seen you for a while. Why don't you come to the ishtama, you know, come on a kafla. I was giving, you know, Nikki that in front of the coach. And he said, brother, I wish I could. I can't afford it. You know, I've got this mortgage that even if I work 7 days a week, I'm going to struggle. And he broke down in tears, Afsad. And he said, you know, my wife at that time, these seven-seaters, everybody started buying seven-seaters. So my wife wants a seven-seater now. And when I say to her, we'll buy a seven-seater for £1,500, she goes, no, I want one at the showroom. So much pressure's on this guy, this poor brother, so much pressure's on him, that his priority in life is, you know, just survival. But he's put that on himself, hasn't he? And you see people around you, you know, you see Afsad, people that appear to be very, very rich. But underneath it all, they're struggling.
You know, we were in Rochdale when we had the food banks in the first lockdown in COVID. We had a phone call from a family and they said that, look, please, can you come down and give us some food because we run out of food. We went outside and we saw a beautiful car and we thought maybe it's the wrong house. And as the brothers, they said, as we were, you know, turned, you know, we had the bags full of food. And as we turned back to go into the car, they called, no, you're in, please come. And they said, what's happened? He goes, we've lost our jobs. You know, we lost our job. We're finding it difficult. Mortgage, yeah, we got another 6 months, but we can't even have money to buy the food. You know, that's how many expenses we had. So maybe someone's house looks beautiful. They've got a beautiful car outside, but inside might be a different story.
And coming back to that bucket list where we mentioned, you know, following the commands of Allah, adopting the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're on our list, especially for the parents that are watching, we're on our list is giving good tarbiyah to our children. You know, these should be our goals. You know, success in this dunya. Yeah, if we want to see success in this dunya, right? The success in this dunya is that our parents are happy with us. Success in this dunya is that we brought up our children and we've given them good tarbiyah. That is success in this dunya. The akhirat, what's the reward we'll get, that's separate. But if you want to look at your success here is not in that car, that house, whatever. You need to reevaluate what you think is success. And I think as Muslims, we've got our priorities wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our priorities wrong with what we think is success. And I think that's where the problem is, Afisab, that what we deem as success, you know, is where we're going wrong. We may look like Muslims.
Yeah.
We may have a beard. We may have an imam al-sharif. We may eat halal food. We will stay away from haram food. But do we think like Muslims? Or do we think like, you know, capitalists or people that just businessmen, all that? Do we think like Muslims? And I think that's where we're feeling.
I got a phone call about 4 o'clock, Afisab. Our imam sahab's, you know, grandma's ill in hospital. So he's left, yeah. Is there anyone to cover Asr, Maghrib and Isha? I said, you know what? I haven't been to that masjid for a long time. I goes, look, I'm local today. I'll cover it myself. So alhamdulillah, I went there for Asr namaz. We only had 3 little children at the back. I went there for Maghrib, had 1 more namazi. I went there for Isha, had another 2 namazis. And I sat down and I thought, this masjid is in the heart of the community. It's not outside on the outskirts. There's houses all around it. Beautiful masjid. You know, they built it from scratch. And I thought, what do people realize that they're leaving the house of Allah in such a state? And then I rang the nigran up and I goes, look, please, you know, okay, give me ijazah that I can work in this area. And I really want to do something here. And, you know, you think to yourself, everyone is busy working and look at the masjid. There's a saying that, you know, the masjid cries. You know, the scholars have mentioned that, you know, you're leaving the masjid empty. You know, it's just, I felt so sad yesterday, seriously.
Again, it's the priorities of the people that live there. The priorities of them people are not to please Allah, otherwise they would be there. Yeah? The priorities of them people are not to read the namaz 5 times a day, otherwise they're there. They have other priorities. The priorities might be football. The priorities might be meeting their mates. The priorities might be watching TVs and, you know, some dramas or something. Whatever it is, that is their priority. So them people, you know, they will never admit it to me or you or anybody that bucket list, the top of the list, is not pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. In fact, on them people, and unfortunately, a lot of people that are as Muslims, it's not even on the list. Our list is not even there. You know, where is it on our list that we're reading namaz 5 times a day? Where is it on our list to fast into the month of Ramadan? Where is it on our list to pay our zakat or be worried about paying our zakat? Where is it on our list to perform the hajj? It's not on our list of priorities in life. And so how can we be successful according to what our Creator wants us to be?
MashaAllah, we do have a daily hadith. Let's go towards the Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, we have heard this hadith countless number of times. All that awaits us is to apply it into our lives. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس شبابك قبل هرمك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناءك قبل فقرك وفراغك قبل شغلك وحياتك قبل موتك. Take advantage of 5 before 5. Your youth before your old age. Your health before your sickness. Your prosperity before your poverty, your free time before your preoccupation, and your life before your death. The commentary for this hadith is that the intelligent person reaches the evening yet does not wait for morning and vice versa. Meaning, a person who's not intelligent will wait for the next day to do his or her tasks. He is always alert to the possibility of death coming at any time. Valuing the days of his well-being, he performs good deeds that will avail him after death. Dear viewers and dear Islamic brothers and sisters, the only thing that is going to help us in the hereafter are our good deeds. Not this wealth, not anything else will help us in the hereafter except the good deeds. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly mentioned the 5 things that we must heed in order to succeed in the hereafter. Firstly, youth before old, because in youth we can pray, We can pray at any time. We can fast. We can make du'as. We can recite the Holy Quran. When a person is in old age, they face difficulty in praying salah. They face difficulty in reciting, whether it's because of the tongue, whether it's because of the eyesight. They face difficulty in terms of fasting. Why is that? Because old age tends to make it difficult. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, youth before old age, your health before your sickness. When a person is sick, they are unable to perform the good deeds that they once used to perform when they were healthy. Your prosperity before your poverty. When a person becomes poor, the only thing that goes into that person's mind is, how do I get myself out of this? And they start forgetting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your free time before your preoccupation. Why is that? Because when we are free, we are able to freely commit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And life before death, because once a person dies, the books, the accounts of good deeds are closed. Dear Islamic brothers and sisters, heed this warning and apply it into your lives. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Welcome back, mashallah. So we have a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We do have Khalid bhai in the studio, mashallah. As well, you must have noticed he was talking a lot than me. That's because why we want him to talk, because he's our special guest in the studio, mashallah.
I maybe do too much talking.
No, alhamdulillah, as well. That's why we brought you here to do the talking, as they say. But mashallah, as well. We've got Khalid bhai in the studio, and today's topic is about success. What is success? How we measure success? And mashallah, you rightly mentioned about the bucket list, something I've really learned today as well. Now, following on that, Khalid bhai, what is our priority today? What should be our priorities? You talked about as well. How can we achieve them priorities? How can we get into that?
Because again, first of all, you need to reevaluate your priorities.
Yeah?
And be honest with yourselves. Write down your priorities and then look at them priorities and think to yourself that if I go after these goals, what will I achieve?
Yeah.
Number one, what will I achieve in this dunya? And number two, what will I achieve in the akhirat? So if my goal is to have, you know, a nice big house, to get married, you know, as soon as possible and have three kids or whatever it is your goal is, then ask yourself that by achieving these goals, what is my ultimate destination?
Yeah.
Now, if by achieving your goals, you feel that you can still attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then all well and good. But what should really happen is your goal, for example, if your goal is to have a detached house, your goal should be, number one, to please Allah Azza wa Jal, and yes, have a number 10 somewhere down there, getting a detached house. But because that is number 10, you can only achieve number 10 by achieving number one, right? So I will go for after detached house, I will go after this, but at the same time, I will not compromise on my priority. So whatever my priorities in life are, everything else needs to be part of that. My priority in life is to have a nice house, but I will not break Sharia. My priority in my life is to buy a nice car, but I will make sure I pay my zakat. My priority in life is that I want to go around the world, but I'll make sure that I'll perform the hajj that is farz upon me. So make sure that your priorities are such that everything else feed into them, and then priorities should be according
to what you said. We make a timetable of our life, yeah? Sometimes people make a timetable, okay, when I'm traveling from here, and I'll need this, dinner time, so that time. When we make these timetables, we should have our Shariat in there. And if I'm traveling, I need to make sure where I can stop to offer my Salah. So our timetable should be around our Deen, not the Dunya.
But the fact is, what happens is though, again, if we're honest with ourselves, then a lot of people, our deen has become a hobby. Yeah. And a hobby is something that you do when you've got time and you don't do, you know.
If you get the time.
If you get the time, yeah. I've got a car that I'm renovating, yeah. And I've not touched it in the last 12 months.
Right?
That's my hobby.
Hobby, yeah.
But I've not been able to touch it in the last 12 months. Unfortunately, our deen becomes like that. That we only touch deen if we get time. Time out, we'll go on the kafla. Time out, we'll read our namaz. Time out, if we've not got time, we won't bother. Now, what should really happen is that deen should be there and everything else should be a hobby. Again, it's priorities, you know? And what happens is we make our deen our hobby. We do it when we've got time. We'll go to the masjid if we've got time. We'll read our namaz if we've got time. And it becomes a hobby, right? And even to the extent that when people perform religious acts of going on Hajj, they're going it because, yeah, I have to do it.
Yeah, we'll have to do it.
I have to do it, yeah.
For the sake of it.
Because otherwise, we'll do some shopping whilst we're there as well. And, you know, it's a tick in the box, yeah? Our goals, you know, what are our goals in life? What are our priorities in life? And I would advise every viewer, myself as well, and you yourself, I think our technical team, everybody that's watching and listening to me now, that we all need to sit down, reevaluate our life, and be honest with ourselves. You know, Hafsab, you mashallah been in madrasa many, many years, you've been as a teacher. And you see a child, and he may only be 7, 8, 9 years of age, yeah? And you look at that child and you think, you know, mashallah, this guy, you know, this kid can become an alim adeen, right? Or you look at another kid and you think, you know what, this kid's going to get nowhere. Why? It's because they're on two different paths, right? And depending on what path they're on, if you stay on that path, you're going to get to that goal, that destination. Yeah. What is our path? What path am I on? What path are you on? What path am I, if I carry on this path? So those people out there that are making big money at the moment, yeah, selling illegal substances, you know, going around in fast cars, where is their ultimate destination? In the dunya and in the akhirat. And if they're honest with themselves, they'll know. You know, those people that, mashallah, are going to the masjid 5 times a day, those people that are traveling in the Madri Kafla, those people that are touching themselves to the environment of Dawah Islami, yes, you may find it hard, you know, but there's a saying, isn't there? Short-term pain, long-term gain.
Yeah.
This dunya is the short-term.
I was talking to a young man and, you know, he was driving a good car and I stopped him and I goes, look, you know, why are you, you know, they've got this exhaust, and, you know, like, bang, bang, bang. And it's like, late at night, 1 o'clock, 2 hours, you know, are you all right? You know, you're feeling okay, yeah? He goes, why? I goes, you're driving around 1 o'clock in the morning, everyone's asleep, and you're driving around with banging this exhaust system. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, it reminded me of, you know, we were talking to a police officer, and, you know, he wasn't in a good company. You know, you do look at him, and you see that as well. And the police officer, he says that these guys only have 5 years to live. You know, they'll either die in a car crash, they'll either be in jail and they'll be locked up for that. And I was, you know, I felt really sorry for this guy that is so confused. Yesterday when I was at that masjid, there was a little lad about 7 years old. And you know, the way he was acting and the way, it was like, for the first thing, you know, he lied. And then I said, Putar, you shouldn't lie. He said somewhere else, he lied again. Because the other kids, they go, no, you didn't. And he goes, yeah, I did. And I said, is that true? And he goes, no. I said, why did you lie? You lied 3 times.
How old was he?
He was 7 years old.
So there's the example I was just mentioning. That 7 year old, if he continues like this, you know, Allah, that, but what is he going to be like when he grows up?
And that's what I was thinking, because the other 2, 3 lads, they were there, mashallah, they had Imam Sharif on and they were reading their namaz and their uncle, how are you? And this guy, and he shakes hands with me like one hand forward and I goes, Allahu Akbar, this guy. And again, it's not
glad
his
that
fault.
At least he did that, man.
You know, it's like, you know, he's been brought up like that,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, he's only a 7 year old little child, but if there's no, you know, no one looking at him and no one does his tarbiyat, you know, he's going to end up in the same way.
That's why we said earlier on that our goals are following the commands of Allah, following the sunnah, and also bringing up our children.
Yeah.
You know, what have we done to bring up our children? Because on the day of judgment, you'll be asked about the tarbiyat of your family.
Yeah.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, save yourselves and your family. Save yourselves and your family from that fire's fuelless stones and men.
Bishop.
You will be asked about your family. That parent will be asked about that family. But I think, I don't know if we've got time, but there's things I want to mention, you know, before we end the program, that, you know, we're talking here about success. We're talking here about priorities. We're talking here about goals. We're talking here about problems. But, you know, if you want to reevaluate your goals, if you want to sit down and honestly think that, where am I going? What should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? Then I advise everybody to attach themselves to the environment of Dawah Islami.
MashaAllah. But we've only got a few minutes, Khalid bhai. Well, I've heard that you've got a story to tell us how you came into the mahal of Dawah Islami.
Basically, I got married in 1990. My in-laws were in the mahal. And I had a bit of a touch with the mahal. 92, I went back to Pakistan again. And again, they introduced me a little bit more. But to be honest, I wasn't writing. I wasn't getting interested. Mm-hmm. Went in 95, 97. In 2000, there was an ishtama in Nawabshah in which I listened to the famous Bayan Wuzur Science. I was invited to that and I didn't go.
You didn't
go? I didn't go.
No.
I didn't go. Because I didn't want to go, if I'll be honest with you.
Right, okay, that's enough.
But then what happened was, a road accident happened, and the people that went, they ended up being in Karachi, and my father-in-law and my brother-in-law were in the accident. So I ended up being in Karachi for 6 weeks with them in ICU and everything. And during those 6 weeks, I met brothers from Dawat Islami. My brother-in-law then invited me to the weekly Ishtama. Amir al-Sunt was there. It was the month of Muharram. Bapa did a bayan about Muharram, I remember it. I didn't fully remember the bayan. And in them days, I was given the opportunity to meet Amir al-Sunt afterwards.
So
my brother-in-law said to me, do you want to meet him? And I thought, yeah. And we actually went in a room, and there was only like 10 or 15 of us there. And there and then, you know, Beth was taking place. I didn't fully understand it, I'll be honest with you. I looked to my brother-in-law and he said, yeah, you know, do it. Just do it. You know, Tiga, if he's saying to me, it must be a good thing. So I did that. And afterwards, Amir al-Sunt asked me the question that, you know, where are you from? And Amir al-Sunt put my Imam Sharif on, by the way.
MashaAllah.
And Amir al-Sunt asked me the question that, where are you from? And I said, I'm from UK. And he said to me that, UK se bahut aate hain, Tiga. A lot of people come from the UK. Lekin jab wapas jaate hain, jazba khatam hota hai. You know, that the enthusiasm disappears. Now, I didn't know what jazba meant. My Urdu wasn't that very good yet. But I knew it was a good thing, yeah? Because the way Bapa said it, I assumed that jazba is something if you've got, it's good. So I said, Bapa, aap dua kare ki mera jazba kabhi khatam na ho. And Bapa raised his hand, so there and then, and did dua for me. And I think it's that dua that is keeping me in the mahal of the
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
So short and sweet, that's it.
No, that's brilliant. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal. From A to Z, you've told us about your story. And MashaAllah, this is a story of hundreds and thousands of Islam brothers. I've got a story to tell, but on a different day. MashaAllah, Azawajal. We're at the end of our program. So please take care of yourself. Keep watching Madani channel. And hopefully we'll be back. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine.